This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up in yet another dump of Clinton campaign emails from WikiLeaks, more evidence suggests Secretary of State Hillary Clinton granted meetings to those who gave money to the Clinton Foundation. We'll talk about that with Mark Smith, New York Times bestselling author who has been tracking these email releases from WikiLeaks. Also, U.S. ships in the Red Sea have been under attack from rebel-held territory in Yemen. Congressman Brian Babin of Texas joins me for that conversation. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, we're getting close to the election, folks. 22 days away. If you've not registered, it's probably too late unless you live in one of those states where you can register at the last minute, which are prone to voter fraud, by the way. I do hope you are planning on voting. And again, resources available for you at TonyPerkins.com. The best resource is the comparison of party platforms. All right, I've heard from a lot of folks. I'll talk about this a little bit later. Simply saying, you know what, this is such a distasteful election cycle. I don't want to vote. Folks, take a look at the party platforms. There has never been a clear contrast between the parties than there is today. Vote, if nothing else, vote party platforms. Okay, we'll talk more about that. But you can find that, actually, you can find a PDF that you can print out that will provide you a comparison on key issues. There's also a video, for those of you who like to watch a video, 3 minutes long, right there at TonyPerkins.com. In fact, you can put it on your Facebook page and let your friends see it as well. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the ninth batch of WikiLeaks hacked emails. Now, I emphasize these have been hacked. I don't support the fact that people are going in hacking emails. Now, of course, the Clinton campaigns have blamed it on the Russians. But nonetheless, this information is out there. WikiLeaks has been releasing it. And it basically provides the evidence of what many have claimed for a long time, that Hillary Clinton, well, is less than pristine. Now, these particular emails come from the email account of John Podesta, who was the campaign chairman of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Joining us now to talk about this and this latest revelation coming from these emails is Mark Smith. He's an attorney and New York Times bestselling author of the official handbook of the vast right-wing conspiracy. He's also a former adjunct professor of law and former editor of the Harvard Journal of Law and Public Policy. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing today? Thanks for having me on and to talk about the gift that keeps on giving, that's for sure.
Well, and it looks like there's still more to come, but it does appear that the media is somewhat ignoring this, with the exception of Fox. The other's not paying a lot of attention, but there's a lot of dots that are connected in these emails.
There are. And, Tony, you know, I'm looking at a data dump. Now, this interesting is that while the Clinton campaign discusses how WikiLeaks is tied to the Russians, although I don't believe there's any actual facts associated with that connection. What is not connected to WikiLeaks is actually the FBI, which has been releasing additional information that sometimes gets glossed over. And today, we see documents called 302 documents, which 302 documents for your listeners, Tony, are really just summaries of interviews that FBI agents have conducted in the course of a criminal investigation that is now over. Now, what's most interesting is a document I have in front of me, which just got released today, I believe a few hours ago, which is a 302 document by the FBI, summarizing an interview. Now, we don't know the name of the government worker that was interviewed, but we do know that this person appears to have been working for the U.S. government's Records Management Division. Now, the Records Management Division, Tony, I will tell you, is not the most sexy area to work for in the government. Now, the reason why that's significant is because at the end of this interview summary by this person who works for the Records Management Division, they talk about this person's impressions of whether or not Hillary Clinton's own State Department was basically pressuring the FBI in the criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton's servers. And at the very end of this interview, it says, and again, it doesn't name the name, it's redacted, but it says, this person, whoever they interviewed, believes that the State Department has an agenda which involves minimizing the classified nature of the Clinton emails in order to protect the interest of not only the State Department, but those of Clinton. Now, the fact that you have a what appears to be a very low-level ministerial person who's just probably there, I surmise, I'm guessing, just to do a basic job and is probably in a non-political civil servant position, opining that they perceive that there is pressure from the State Department to the FBI to classify things as not classified, which would mean, of course, it's not a big deal to have those on your private server, let's say, because they're not classified. To me, this is very damning evidence that the State Department, Hillary's old employer, was pressuring the FBI to reach certain conclusions, such as letting her go. Now, as you know, Tony, and your listeners, I'm sure, are aware, over the last several days, we've heard countless reports of professional, lifelong FBI agents concluding that they thought that Jim Comey's decision not to charge Hillary was improper and she should have been charged. And this is now evidence from the FBI's own documents that there may have been pressure by the State Department to the FBI to basically let Hillary get a pass in various ways. And this shows the active workings of the State Department officials to try to make that happen. And I think this is really a shocking discovery we're finding just today.
So, Mark, we're seeing here where the Clinton campaign or the Clinton machine tried to use its influence to prevent this exposure of the fact that she had classified material on her home server. That was one thing that came out in this latest dump. But this other aspect...
Right. And what's shocking, Tony, is that this is the government paid for by us taxpayers that are working on behalf of the Clintons and the Clinton campaign, paid for by your listeners and by me.
And I assume that that's mostly through the political appointees that are operating at the level of driving the agenda at the State Department and elsewhere. And, of course, their friends are at the Department of Justice and elsewhere. That's where I think we've heard most of the pushback and complaints have come from the career service individuals who were there to do a job. And they're frustrated because they were not able to do that job because of the political pressure.
That's right. And, of course, the whole purpose of the civil service is supposed to be they just do their job. So if something is classified and top secret, they call it, you know, it's like the old umpire metaphor, Tony, right? If it's a ball, you call it a ball. If it's a strike, you call it a strike. And it doesn't matter if the hitter and or the pitcher is a Democrat or a Republican. And you see by these emails that, again, just got released today and these 302 statements that got released today, what appears to be a clear example of how government decisions are being made about what's top secret and what is not top secret, Tony. And they're considering motives and agendas that don't appear to be consistent with what's in the national interest, which is what you're, of course, supposed to be doing when you work for these kind of federal agencies.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Mark Smith, my guest, a New York Times bestselling author. I've been tracking the emails, nine dumps now, data dumps of the Clinton campaign emails from campaign chairman John Podesta. Mark, all right, one other aspect, which this is not new. We've heard this before in some of the other information that became available as a result of information that Congress gained and Tom Fenton and Judicial Watch were able to secure earlier. But that is this idea that there was a what's called pay to play, that in order for Hillary Clinton to have meetings with different countries, they gave money to the Clinton Foundation. That idea was reinforced in some of the information that came out of this latest batch of emails.
Well, I think the best example of this, there's so much going on here, Tony. Of course, it's like drinking from a water, you know, like a fire hose, as they say. But I do think the most damning specific instance of this is if you look at how the State Department was characterizing, you know, emails and people who were trying to get access to government bids in Haiti, if they were characterized as a friend of Bill Clinton or a VIP of the Clinton Foundation, then guess what? They got to talk to the State Department and have conversations about assisting or getting involved with Haiti in some respect with all the billions of dollars in contracts that were issued. But if they weren't, they were basically referred to a generic federal government website that any of us could apply for today. And I think we all having been to the Department of Motor Vehicles around the country, I think we're pretty much sure what being sent to a generic federal government website is probably going to look like in terms of the turnaround. And yes, I think that's the best example, that if you're friendly with the Clintons, you had access to State Department influence in a way that other ordinary Americans simply did not have. And that just goes to show you. Now, my question, Tony, of course, is if this is the sort of thing that the government has been doing on various things like, again, the Haiti catastrophe, which was the earthquake, what else has the government doing in favor of certain favored individuals over others that we just haven't uncovered yet? We just don't know about it yet. And, you know, I should mention this, Tony, and this is, I just want to, you know, whet the interest perhaps of all of the people out there following this. You know, I don't believe WikiLeaks has released any Hillary Clinton emails yet. I think we're just looking at John Podesta's. One wonders whether or not, guess what, we may be seeing Hillary's emails to come. I have no way of knowing that. It's just speculation on my part, but it's an interesting question as every day we see more emails coming out from WikiLeaks.
Right. Mark, I want to stick on this issue of this pay-to-play for a moment, in Haiti in particular, because the Algeria gave $500,000 to the Clinton Foundation, which was approved by the State Department, and they were able to, as I understand it, I mean, walk us through this, correct me if I get any of the facts wrong, but the Clinton Foundation acknowledged that it received one gift that actually should have been vetted. It was not, and approved by the State Department, for $500,000 from Algeria to assist in Haiti after the earthquake in 2010. So the way this works, let me make sure our listeners understand it and I understand it, is that these other countries could be a part of the relief effort and gain access to even contracts from the United States government and make money off of this relief effort. And in order to get in line to do that, they were able to make a contribution to the Clinton Foundation and jump to the head of the line and secure potential contracts. Is that the way it was working?
Yeah, that certainly appears to be, from looking at the documents, what something like that may very well occur. Now, of course, you know, the one trick to all of this, Tony, is to be fair, as hard as that may be in such a situation like this, to be fair, you know, one, of course, doesn't really know exactly what was motivating these people, what were people intending, unless you sit down and talk to them. But the question really becomes is, why are we now learning about this today? Why has it taken so long, for example, the media to pay attention to any of this at such a late hour? I mean, this has been going on for years, and yet, frankly, as you know, people haven't done any of the digging. It takes other private parties to do the digging and not the media. But certainly, there's no doubt, in my professional opinion, Tony, that by certainly being friends with the Clintons, that gave you access. Now, maybe it didn't guarantee that you got a contract, but it certainly put you in the right room with the people that make the decisions, and I suspect that's a good first start when you're dealing with government contracts of this level with the people. Remember, it's not just government contracts, Tony. It's also the ability to shake hands and meet people
right
in the NGO community, the charities and the like. All of which is much more helpful if you get access to a place like Haiti after an earthquake.
Right, absolutely. Mark, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure there's much more to come. All right, Mark Smith, thanks so much. Folks, you can find out more. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. My concern is that they get access by giving a contribution, which then gets them in line to get a contract of government money. So it's essentially almost our tax money going into this foundation in order. I mean, it looks corrupt, folks. It really does. All right, when we come back, Congressman Mark Babin, don't go away.
Should our daughters and mothers be forced to serve in the military through selective service in a time of war? Should they be required to serve in units with men in primal conditions where privacy and personal hygiene are by nature out in the open, and where they are forced together in close proximity for long periods? The American military is about preparing for, fighting, and winning wars, and performing specific operations against threats to the security of our country and vital national interests, period. Anything that distracts from the achievement of these purposes should be jettisoned. This includes placing women into special operations forces or forward-based infantry positions, and including them in the selective service. For more information on the common sense needs of our men and women in uniform, visit frc.org/womeninthedraft. That's frc.org/womeninthedraft.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. All right. Multiple missile attacks in the last week on U.S. warships. They've been targeted off the, they're sailing off the coast of Yemen and the Red Sea. There's a very strategic area there for the shipping of oil and such. And one of the tanks, the Navy fired back with some Tomahawk missiles. But this raises a bigger question. I mean, this is rebel forces that are doing this that hold Yemen. And the territory held by the rebel forces, the Houthis, and they're connected to Iran, and could very well be serving as surrogates for Iran and further provocation of the United States. And how are we responding? Well, here to talk about that, Congressman Brian Babin of Texas. Brian, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you. Great to be with you, Tony.
Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate you taking time to join us this afternoon. I know as a military veteran, you're concerned about these issues. I know you're also a doctor. You focus a lot on the healthcare issues. But this we're continually seeing this provocation of the United States as if America is no longer feared by our enemies. Tell us more about what's been happening there with the Navy coming under attack by these rebel forces in Yemen.
Well, you know, now that we are now shooting back, I guess my only reaction is that it's about time because, as you said, Tony, we're being provoked repeatedly by a number of powers in the world today, including the Russians, the North Koreans, the Iranians, the Houthis, and on, and we seem to just be asleep at the wheel. That is, not our military, but our administration. And it's about time that we respond with something, a force in kind. And we have had a series of incidents over, in fact, the very last State of the Union address that we had this past January. And I'm sitting there listening to the president speak knowing that just earlier that day, the Iranians had apprehended a number of our U.S. Navy sailors, captured two small boats, and had them in captivity. And the president never even mentioned it in his State of the Union address that night, which was, I thought, totally inexcusable. And so finally we had to learn the hard way through the media exactly what had happened. And then, incredibly, our own Secretary of State apologized and thanked the Iranians for capturing our own sailors, raiding them around, tying them up, having them at gunpoint and treating them in a disgraceful manner, which was against all international agreements, military-wise. And so our president should never hesitate to stand up to such belligerent actions like this that put the safety of our troops at risk. Because the less he does that, when he draws red lines in the sand, like he did in the Assyrian conflict, and does nothing, it simply puts our men and women at risk. So I say about time, Mr. President, that we start firing back.
Yeah, I think when you mentioned North Korea, Russia, and what's been happening in Syria there, the conflicts we've been having, confrontations with the Russian military. I mean, I would have to say, Congressman, that increasingly America is slipping in terms of the respect that it has in the international community. And that is seen as weakness and allows people, these other countries, rogue actors in this case, but if Iran is working behind these rebels in Yemen, the Houthis, to do this, it just speaks to the weakness of our foreign policy and of America in its international standing. And I have to say, that's got to be a factor in the minds of many members of Congress coming into this election.
It is indeed. It certainly is, Tony. You know, I think this was a quote by Alexander the Great. He said, an army of lions led by a lamb will suffer defeat, but an army of lambs led by a lion will win victory. And the Greeks, on another occasion, said, if you want peace, you prepare for war. And quite frankly, our military is at a very low ebb prepared-wise. We're the lowest army troop number since pre-World War II, the lowest ship number since pre-World War I. And as I'm an Army and Air Force veteran. My son was a Navy SEAL veteran with three tours to Iraq. And this greatly disturbs military veterans, plus anybody that has any a lick of sense in the international relations that we have in foreign policy, including my colleagues. So we've got to prepare and ready our military for a conflict. And as we have retrenched under the foreign policy of Barack Obama, and also I might add Secretary of State Clinton and John Kerry, the bad, belligerent folks have stepped into those footprints. And what really disturbs me is that the terrible relationship that we have now between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. Putin has already told some of his, I think, his foreign service people to bring the Russian families back to Russia in a very kind of mysterious manner. And then this follows immediately the walkout of the Syrian toss between the United States and Russia. And I'm not defending Mr. Putin in any way, shape, or form. He's certainly a former KGB fella and has certainly a track record of some terrible things. But nevertheless, if Mrs. Clinton was bragging on the Russian reset just a couple of years ago, and now look and see what's happening, and then incredibly, Tony, the Democratic Party is trying to say and maintain that Russia is trying to influence our presidential election on behalf of...
Congressman Babin, we're up against a break. Can you hold on 2 minutes and we'll pick this back up on the other side of the break?
Absolutely, Tony.
Okay. All right, folks. Congressman Brian Babin is going to stick around. I hope you will as well. On the other side of the break, we're going to finish this conversation. Go to your calls. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, some important economic data coming out this week. We're going to get another look at housing. We'll see how housing is holding up for the month of September. We're going to get existing home sales on Thursday, and on Wednesday, we get building permits and housing starts. The two important ones are existing home sales and housing starts, new construction. So we'll get a good look at that. Right now, it's expected to be considerably higher than it was last month. Both those numbers, with exception with building permits and housing starts, expected to be higher. Existing home sales are expected to be somewhat lower, not a lot, but a little bit lower than they were last month. So important numbers. We already got Empire manufacturing number. Now, we know that the New York area of manufacturing has been in contraction mode for some time. Last look, it was a negative 2. They were expecting it to be a positive 2. That would be a 4-point swing, very unlikely. Not only is it unlikely, we ended up with a negative 6.8, a negative 6.8. So Empire Manufacturing going deeper into contraction mode. The big number will be industrial production. That is one I'm going to be looking at very closely. That also was a negative number. Production, extremely instrumental if we are to expect better GDP numbers. We can't have growth in the economy if we're not having good production. So that is one of the most important numbers of the week.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, talking about what's been happening with our nation's military, specifically in the last week, we've seen attacks on U.S. ships in the Red Sea by rebel forces that are holding portions of Yemen. And there apparently is some possible connection with Iran. But talking with Congressman Brian Babin about this and the overall strength of our military and our standing as a country internationally. Brian, thanks for sticking around. You were really laying out a pretty good case of what happened when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, followed by John Kerry, and how our standing in the world has slipped. Let me ask you this question. This is what I wanted to stick around for. As a member of Congress, who obviously very concerned about national security, if this was what happened when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, is there any reason to think that it would be different if she were President of the United States?
Tony, I shudder to think what it would be like. It was one disaster after the other in her tenure as Secretary of State. I mean, we had four brave Americans left hanging out to dry, hundreds of requests to enhance and beef up security over there in Benghazi went unanswered. And, the red line in Syria, just over and over and over again, we've got the debacle in Libya, on and on. And if she had her hands on the keys to our nuclear weapons, the way things have been going under her and Barack Obama's administration, I fear for the future of our nation's defense. And I don't think that we have seen, and I'm not a real young guy, let's just put it that way. I remember the Cold War very well. I served in the military back in the late 60s and all the way up until 79. And quite frankly, I don't think we've had this bad of relations with Russia since the Cold War. And this incredibly comes after just a year or so ago, they were bragging about the Russian reset that Mrs. Clinton and Obama were talking about. And quite frankly, I think it was a joke. And we have got terrible relationship with the Russians now. And then for the Democratic Party and the Clinton administration to come out and blame Russia, and indirectly blame Trump for the hacking of the Democratic Party's email, I think it's just incredible. I think it's trying to cast aspersions on the Trump campaign and throw caution to the winds. I think with the relationship that we have now with Russia, we're on very, very shaky ground. And I think it's going to take a lot of wisdom on the part of our leadership to try to see if we can maybe reestablish some sort of relationship with the Russians that will not lead to a open warfare. And again, I want to say that I'm fully aware of the sinister maybe I should say the ultimate plans of Mr. Putin, trying to put together the Soviet Empire again and.
Sure.
And taking over his neighbors, his former Soviet republics. But nevertheless, we have to be very cautious. And we're to the point now, Tony, where, quite frankly, our enemies do not fear or respect us any longer, and our friends simply do not trust us. And that is a very bad situation when we have a military that's unprepared and a lot of adversaries that are willing to push the envelope, if you would, with the United States, because they simply don't think this president is capable of having any kind of a tough response. And so that's why I say about time we start firing back at the Houthis, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find it interesting that Hillary Clinton wanting to say that the Russians are behind these hacked emails trying to help Donald Trump. And I don't know, maybe they are, who knows? Yeah, but maybe Putin is using reverse psychology, because I have to think that the best case scenario for him with his sinister objectives is to have Hillary Clinton in the White House.
I mentioned that today on another program, Tony. I could not agree more. Putin's worst nightmare if he has plans for expansion and imperialism and taking over his neighbors and the worst thing that could happen to him would be for Donald Trump, a strong leader, to be in charge of U.S. foreign policy and military policy. And Hillary Clinton is more of the same as that we've seen for the last 8 years of Barack
right.
Obama. I mean, even on domestic fronts, bringing in refugees from terrorist hotspots, Muslim fundamentalist terrorists, infiltrating our refugee program, immigration, open borders. This administration, which Mrs. Clinton is part of, has absolutely been an unmitigated disaster. And Mr. Trump, this is the centerpiece of his platform running for president, and that is to secure this border, rebuild our military, and have the United States be a lot more secure. As I said a while ago, like the Greeks said, if you want peace, you must prepare for war.
Absolutely. Congressman, we've got to leave it there. Out of time. Thank you so much, Brian, for joining us. As always, great to talk with you.
Hey, same here, Tony. Always great to talk to you, and God bless here.
All right, thank you. Congressman Brian Babbitt of Texas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines and hear from you here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty Health Share.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
There's a lot happening around us. That's why Christians need to stand strong on family values and morality. Hi, I'm Ray Rooney, editor of The Stand, a blog from the American Family Association. The Stand has timely, carefully written articles on relevant cultural issues that you can quickly forward to others. The Stand is a beacon of light to a society in need of direction. Visit afa.net/the stand.
Consider serving the Lord with Friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Are you concerned about the future? The AFA Foundation can help. End-of-year giving allows you to offset your current taxable income, providing you with valuable tax savings on this year's return. And your generous gift will help further the mission of AFA to inform, equip, and motivate people in the culture war for years to come. Through the AFA Foundation, you're supporting the work of the American Family Association by helping individuals and families leave a legacy to help stem the tide of secularism and rebuild our Christian foundations. As the end of the year approaches, carefully considering what to give and when to give it can increase the impact of your gift while still meeting your own needs as well. For example, with a cash donation, your itemized tax return may allow you to receive up to the full value of your charitable gift. Contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, at our website, afafoundation.net, or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, there's great resources for you on the website that you can use to share with your friends and family about this election. I'm not telling you who to vote for. In fact, many people say, I can't vote for any of the two major candidates. They're repulsive. I can't vote for them. You know, we got one that's one is a crook and one's a creeper. Well, you know, look. Vote Party Platform, and we have resources there at the website, a video of the platform as well as a printout. Shows you the contrast between the two parties, all right? All right, I'm going to go to the phone lines here in just a moment, and I want to talk about, we've had nine of these data dumps from the Clinton campaign. Now, I was on over the weekend, I was on talking about, once again, the revelations of the internal hostility toward religion, Orthodox religion, Christianity, from the Clinton campaign. That's one of the aspects, but there's many aspects. So here's what I want to ask you. Of the countless revelations included in these thousands of emails that have been released thus far, what concerns you most? All right, what of the revelations that have come out from these hacked emails from the Clinton campaign, what concerns you most? All right, 866-372-7234. I want to share a story. I normally don't do this, but this caught my attention last week. This is a real story. It's from the Christian Post. I saw it last week. I first thought it was a joke, but then another story out today following up. It was an Oregon church which came under fire in recent weeks for instituting a ban on fat people. I'm reading from the article. As a part of a slew of mandatory guidelines to be a part of the congregation's worship team. They apologized for the ban on Saturday and begged forgiveness to anyone their rules may have offended. Now, I think they went on to say that was a big fat mistake to do that. I mean, I just wondering why a church would have done that to begin with. And But anyway, it was a real story. You can actually see it at the Christian Post. Anyway, I caught my eye. I thought it was funny, actually. 866-372-7234. And let's go to North Carolina, where Catherine is on the line. Catherine, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. The most disturbing thing to me is when she was caught saying that it's okay to say things privately, what she really believes, and tell the public the total opposite. I mean,
yes.
She manipulated. That's not the first time they've manipulated and tried to manipulate the American public. They also tried to manipulate Benjamin Netanyahu's election, too, remember?
Right, right. That's a good point. I mean, she's saying one thing in private, and this was to bankers and the Wall Street types, basically saying, look, we got to have certain policies because we got to show the public we care about these things. So it was kind of speaking out of both sides of your mouth. That's what she was doing. I don't know. Maybe people have come to expect that from politicians. But someone who was, you know, especially trying to capture the Bernie Sanders wing of the party that is so against business and the Wall Street crowd, for her to be giving a populist message on the street but behind closed doors saying, hey, look, winking, saying, I'm with you. I mean, who can you trust? And this is actually, I'm going to be out in at the next debate in Las Vegas. I'll be doing a number of media interviews talking about this. And this is where it's come down to me. When you look at, you know, people talk about the character of the candidates. Well, you've got one candidate who is, as you said, talking out of both sides of their mouth. String of emails shows corruption. You've got another candidate who was caught on tape saying things about women that was deplorable. Both have character issues, in my view. And so when you kind of draw a line down the middle and write down these issues on each side, and, you know, character matters. It absolutely does. But the choice before us, we have two candidates that have character issues. So what do you go to next? Well, I think you can go to policies, platforms, personnel. Who is Hillary Clinton going to surround herself with? Well, we've got a glimpse of that from those in her campaign. Who is Donald Trump going to surround himself with? Well, we've got a little bit of a glimpse of that, too, from the people he's surrounded himself with. Certainly much different than Hillary Clinton. What are the policies? Again, different contrast, the platforms. Clear contrast. Catherine, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Oklahoma, where Kyle is on the line. Welcome to Washington Watch.
This is Kyle in Oklahoma City.
Go right ahead, Kyle. Welcome.
Just wondering, you know, with what she said about the Catholic Church really brings into question any kind of religious type of affiliation that Hillary will have towards true Christian religious beliefs and protecting the Christian religion when Islam is now being taught in our schools, which throws up all the other flags towards our constitutional rights being dumped by the Democratic Party totally, if that's going to be the case.
Well, their party platform is absolutely silent when it comes to the issue of religious freedom and any representation of God in our government. The Republican Party, different on that issue. And Kai, I would say something that's even more disturbing than the comments that were made about the Catholic Church. And of course, they were talking about conservative Catholics who practice their faith according to biblical teaching. But he said, you know, that's in the email exchange. He said, well, that's socially acceptable, but to be an evangelical, that's too much. That's not socially acceptable, is what they were suggesting by the exchange. And John Podesta, in one of these exchanges, actually talked about how they had created two false Catholic organizations to basically spread false teaching, you know, to borrow a biblical term. That would, you know, on issues that, you know, whether it's marriage, life, economic issues, whatever, And what happens when you have that corruption within biblical teaching, or it's given a platform in the media to speak, saying, well, this is what this Catholic organization says. It puts doubts in people's mind about, you know, biblical truth if they're not reading it themselves and studying it. And that leads to compromise to the truth, which eventually leads to the surrender of the truth. So they were even advocating in this change for what they called the Catholic Spring. So you're absolutely right. Their intent is not to protect. It's not even to coexist. It's to essentially eliminate Orthodox Christianity. And that's why over the weekend I was on Fox and I said, I think that Hillary Clinton could be one of the greatest threats to religious liberty this country has ever seen. It has to be. There's no way for that progressive, ultra-liberal agenda that Barack Obama has launched and she wants to take to the next phase, there's no way it can succeed unless religion is either quarantined within the four walls of the church, i.e. freedom of worship, that's why they describe it as worship as opposed to religion, or it's eradicated altogether. That's the only way they can accomplish their agenda. Kai, thanks so much for the call. Let's go on to Alabama, where Brad is on the line. Brad, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good evening, Tony. Thank you for having me. I'm doing good. I hope you are.
I am. Thank you.
A quick comment on Mr. Trump and just say that despite what he's done in the past, what's been revealed, and I'm sure the Clinton campaign is going to dribble out a lot more in the next 3 or 4 weeks, he said, even though his apology was weak, he said, I was wrong. I have never heard Hillary ever say she was wrong. She doesn't have a fixed set of values, a standard by which she operates, except the standard of Hillary worship. She has, the documents that have been released so far show utter gross contempt for the people of America and the God they serve.
Well, she did, just to be clear, she said she made a mistake when it came to having the email server in her home. She didn't say she was wrong. She said she made a mistake. And she didn't apologize. I don't believe she apologized for that. Brian, thanks so much for the call. Taking responsibility for one's actions and assuming that responsibility is, I think, is a critical attribute of a leader. And I agree with what Brian said. I think Donald Trump's acknowledgement and apology could have been much stronger, you know, and taking credit for it and not in any way dismissing it, because it's not dismissible. It's very problematic. But again, you have to look at what is before us. All right, let's go to Arkansas, where Dave is on the line. Dave, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, how you doing, Tony? Long time no speak. But, partner, I know you ain't got much time, and I don't have much time either, partner, but I wanted to let you know I was on YouTube the other night. I follow Project Veritas, James O'Keefe.
Yeah.
They got a super good video out where they had went out and, long story short, they basically got their campaign coordinator, Trevor, I think his name's Trudeau or something to that effect, but anyway, it's Hillary Clinton's campaign coordinator, telling a bunch of folks that they've got him on camera admitting it would be okay to tear up Republican ballots as long as they didn't get too carried away with it. That really bothers me, Tony, heading into this election, because at the same, you know, we've got them trying to come out and they're trying to take over our elections anyway. We've got, what's his name, Jay Johnson, and he's trying to pull his stuff.
Right.
You know, Tony, what are we going to do? My point to the public out here is, you know, I really feel like in my heart, they're setting us up for a fall. If these elections ain't legit, I know I'm seriously going to have reasons to, doubt if she does win at this point.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Dave, because, you know, Donald Trump has been saying that he's concerned about the elections being rigged and in fact, criticizing some Republicans who were downplaying that aspect. But I always think there's reasons to be concerned. And as you've pointed out, people in the campaign actually making those statements is troubling. Here's what we do. The solution to that is make sure, I mean, multiple steps that need to be taken. Number one is if you're active in a campaign or in your party, in your county, your state, whatever, volunteer to be a poll watcher. And I've seen this back when shortly after I was elected, was involved in a Senate campaign about 20 years ago. And there was multiple verified incidents of voter fraud. And the margin of loss of the Republican candidate was within the range of the verified fraudulent voting. You can lose elections over this, absolutely. So if you have poll watchers that are there that are able to, you know, verify, you don't have people multiple voting, that they're making sure that they check IDs or whatever the case may be, that's important. But then more basic than that is actually voting, is conservatives showing up to vote. And there's, again, I know the choice before us is not good. And I would have liked to have seen a different outcome and, in fact, worked very difficult, very diligently to try to bring about a different outcome, but didn't succeed at that. But we've got to vote. And if we allow the media and the left to suppress conservative vote, which is what's going on right now, it's not going to take much voter fraud, if in fact the voter fraud occurs, because we're just not going to show up. I mean, and that's actually a tactic. And that's what's happening right now is what's called voter suppression by these, you know, I mean, the video of Donald Trump, I mean, it was his own voice. It was disturbing, disgusting. But then you have right on the backside of that, you have people coming out making allegations. Are they true? I don't know. Donald Trump says they're not. People close to him say they're not. I don't know. But it could very well be orchestrated, and that's designed to drive a wedge between him and core Republican voters. And it has the effect of suppressing them, which is what we're hearing. People say, I'm not going to vote. I'm so disgusted with this election. I'm just so disgusted with all of the stuff that's taking place. And they just say, I'm not going to vote. I'm just not going to vote. And that's a problem because the left, they're going to show up. I mean, that core is going to show up because they're driven by a different objective. You know, we are focused on outcomes, on policies, on changing America. We're driven by vision and ideals, and the other side, not so much so. It's about power. It's about personal benefits. And so they're motivated by the return, kind of an ROI on their vote, the return on investment, what they're going to get from the government. And that's there. It's innate. It's already built in. And so they're going to be motivated to go and vote. You know, our folks, again, motivated by a different set of principles, criteria. All right, out of time, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. Sorry we didn't get to all the calls, but there'll be another day, Lord willing. Let me encourage you again, visit the website, TonyPerkins.com. Please use those resources. Share them on your Facebook page. Send them out to your friends. The platform comparison on video is great. And send it out. Let other people see it. All right, until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.